Pass the salt.
It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning there, folks. I'm thinking about getting some wireless earphones. Does that look tacky? I'm sitting here in this multi-million-dollar studio with these things dinging out of my ears here. Thinking about getting some wireless. I need a shave. Look at myself here. I need a shave. Getting my feet under me. Hey, listen, David Arthur lost his brother, Lee. Because most of you know who David Arthur is. And his brother, Lee, who is in his 50s. I wish I had more information. Evidently massive heart attack, dropped over. So David and his mother loaded up last night, had to drive to New Jersey. I don't know what kind of funeral arrangements are. They're in hotels and all that kind of stuff. Folks, listen, there's a great financial need right there. I can tell you that right now. Now, not to pay for David's brother's funeral. That's not what I mean. But, you know, David operates on a pretty tight budget anyway. He and his mother had to drive out there a couple nights in a hotel. Yada, yada, yada. And expenses associated with it. So if you get a chance, go to Alphabet Man Live. I think, Jared, maybe pull that up there real quick. Go to his website and see if there isn't a place where people can go right online and help support him financially. Yeah, you donate with a credit card. The need is real. I mean, it's real. And he always walks a tightrope anyway as far as finances. But there's a need there. And just be praying for him. Just be praying for him. Good news is, I guess if there is any good news, David's mother, who is living with David right now, got a chance to speak to Lee during the Super Bowl, of all things. She had a conversation with him last night, the night of the Super Bowl, and he has a heart attack the next morning. So remember, man, tomorrow is promised to no man. Promised to no man, and we don't know. And listen, if you're out there and you're holding grudges and you got some things that you need to make right, Don't carry that kind of stuff to the grave with you. So anybody out there, you think that you haven't made things right with, buddy, it can happen. I was thinking about Mark Trump, because Mark Trump's really getting, he's been talking about data and electrical waves and all that kind of stuff. And I just figured out my heart, your heart, is like a fuel pump, isn't it? Sometimes a fuel pump in your car stops and your engine won't run. Well, unfortunately, if that happens to your heart, your fuel pump stops in your body, electrical, whatever makes the thing stop. Well, the car stops. Only thing is, you can't revive that. Ain't no mechanic to go to, right? So, come on, man. Don't worry over the little things. Todd Barham, I want to mention Todd this morning as well. Todd's still in the hospital, although his spirit's been really good, but I got a call from Michelle. Got a text, I guess it was from Lexi yesterday, or Leslie, and then I followed up with Leslie. He had a little bit of a, I don't know what it was. He had a spell and nearly passed out or whatever, and then he got him back in the bed and, doing some stuff. So anyway, ups and downs with where he is, the chemo and all that. His spirits are great. She said he's in unbelievable pain and doesn't know how he's such a trooper, never complains about it, tried not to take a whole lot of medication and all that. So continue to lift up Todd. And I'm sorry about Jennifer. I don't really know what her status is, although the last I saw, Jennifer said her the cancer was shrinking. By the way, if you get cancer, if you get some type of sickness, don't own it. In other words, don't say my cancer this and my cancer that and my leukemia this. It ain't yours. It's an invader, all right? Now, stupid as that may sound, I believe that gives the enemy a stronghold. That's my opinion. So don't talk to other people about, oh, Todd's cancer and so and so's cancer. Don't be doing that. Speak life into them, because that's an invader, certainly an invader. So continue to lift up Jennifer Peterson and lift up Todd Barham. I'm Brian Cunningham. I see Brian's in here. He's getting back on his feet. It's all good. Been a lot of attacks coming, man. It would be good if we called them demonic attacks, but we really don't know, do we? We really don't know. We don't know. I know Rob Pugh's under some pressure up there. You know, Rob's always a workaholic. He's under some pressure up there too. So he ain't heavy. He's my brother. Boys, let's lift one another up. And I think it would be amazing to know sometimes what one phone call can make to lift the spirits of somebody else. So put that on your list, stuff to do about Panama City, man. Booked our flight. Gary and I don't. We're flying out of Ohio. We don't get in down there until Monday. We'll be there Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and out on Friday. And some of you are coming in on Sunday, which is a great thing. And Mark Trump and Jim Kraft have really got things organized down there. We're going to have maybe 30, maybe 40 of us. We're not really sure until everybody shows up. Anybody else who would like to go? We still have time, room, whatever left for you to be part of it. Did I tell you? I don't know if I told you. Hang on a second. We got Steve from Think About It coming up today. Steve, you remember we showed you last week one of his videos, and I twisted his arm finally, and he says 7:30 is pretty early in the morning, but he's going to get up and try to join us here in the morning. So about halfway through the show, we're going to bring Steve in, and I'm going to give you fair warning. Steve did a series of videos on things that were taken out of the Bible and why they were taken out. That's what I want to talk to him about. He did it. Great video yesterday on Lavoie Finicum and what really took place out there, and with Lavoie Finicum being gunned down Oregon, where he was gunned down. And Jared, if you could just real quickly throw up there Steve's webpage so people can see what we're talking about. I think I sent you the link. I don't think Steve's going to be able to. He's going to join us by phone. I don't know. I didn't go through the time of getting him up with Google Meets and all that stuff. So there it is. Think About It News, that's his website. And Steve's a internet sensation on YouTube. 50,000 followers probably. I don't know. Bunch of them. But you know what I like about him? He takes on the edgy stuff. He calls it like it is. And I thought this would be a great guy to bring into the loop here that we can all build some type of cross-pollination relationship with her. A lot of stuff to talk about. Let me throw this back out here again. After I pondered this from yesterday, I was amazed. Jared, I'm sorry. I'm thinking I'm not giving you much. The giving stats, pull that back up there from yesterday, Jared, before we bring Steve in here. Well, I was blown away. I don't know about you guys. I thought about it all day. I kept saying that my wife probably thought I was crazy. But number two, about the giving in the church, and why are we losing? Look, number two, in 2000, evangelicals collectively made $2.66 trillion in income. Total Christian income in the United States is $5.2 trillion. Over the next 50 years, it's predicted that $41 trillion, $136 trillion will pass from older Americans to younger. That's through inheritance, I would assume. $1 trillion to $3 trillion in wealth will change hands every year within the Christian community. When surveyed, 17% of Americans state that they regularly tithe. For Christian families making less, scrolling down a little bit, Jared, the total amount of money given is absolutely astronomical. How is it? See, boy. Hey, Coach, what's the point you're making? Our problem's not money. Folks, in the Christian world, our problem isn't money. My, look at the money that's available through the what's the problem with the money? The problem is the church's self-consumant running church. Now, I don't want to belabor this fact, but the conversation we had with Dale Soshi yesterday and who's doesn't even get paid. Mike Spalding, who probably doesn't even get paid, although he ought to get some type of stipend for it, for what he does. Workman's worthy of his wages. And to look at these mega churches, and I drove by, as Michelle and I drove to Columbus yesterday, it's about 35 miles for us. Drove to Columbus. I sound like a hill jack, like we went to the big city. And I was just looking at all the churches, and I was just in my mind, just golly, just multiply this times this time. Look at all this money and all this power. And the churches don't even They don't even talk to each other. They don't even plan and work together. They don't even have community-wide outreaches. They don't have community influence into the churches. It's like I reminded when I first started when I walked away from teaching and coaching and I tried to help to get involved with the young kids. I hate to call them youth. That's a worn-out term, too. Tried to get involved with it, to bringing kids together. And I'll never forget what one pastor said when I asked him to join in this event we were having at another church. He says, Coach, he says, I can't send our kids over there. We don't agree with all of their doctrine. I said, what? I said, do you send them to the public school? Do you agree with any of the doctrine in the public school? So my wife's constantly trying to calm me down, say, honey, quit worrying about that. Quit stressing. I said, I just can't stress. It's like I see this unbelievable sleeping giant laying, spending money, sitting around feeding itself, getting fatter and fatter and fatter off of what's coming in. And the world around us is disintegrating, as our theme song says. The culture is disintegrating and the church is consuming it on salaries and smoke machines and blacktop. And oh my goodness. Somebody help me out here this morning.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Coach.
Yeah, George.
Well, I think you're mostly right, but I'll have to disagree with you on one point. We have a Methodist church here in Claremore, and they have a kids' flag football league, and they invite people from other churches. So does that count as working together?
Yeah, okay. We'll throw that in the hat as maybe. Maybe it does, right? Somebody else help me, man. What do we do? How do we unleash this financial machine? See, the left is taking all their money and they're lobbying, and the church says, oh, we're not going to deal with politics. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, Vinny.
Yeah, no, it's first of all, they make the money out of nowhere. Remember, they just add entries to a ledger, and all of a sudden they're rich. So money doesn't mean anything to them. They can make it out of nothing. So money is hardly an issue. No, but there's an elephant in the room, and you refuse not to smell it or see it, and that's great because that's what it's a problem. We need to deal with it. We can't stick our heads in the sand.
Now, Vinny, it says here, number 11, Christians follow the Old Testament standard of giving across the board. Then the $139 billion will become available every year for additional ministry work. I mean, really, come on, let's think about this now. How many of the churches in America actually do ministry work outside of the church? How much of that budget is actually spent outside the church? I think we'd be shocked. Yeah, Jeff.
Hi, good morning. I was at a Gideon's meeting, and this pastor from another non-denominational church made this astounding astonishment. He said, I can't believe, he said, I quote, 95% of the budget of the church stays within the four walls.
That's right. 90%, Jeff, is that what he said?
95%.
Yeah. Wow. And we're losing everywhere around us, right? I don't want to keep beating up on this. So understand this, folks. There's not a shortage of money in the church. Not a shortage.
Well, Dave, I just wanted to say the last church that I was at, they spent their money on missionaries. I thought, wow, that was wonderful, except they were in Scotland. I'm like, are they really having a problem over there or what? Wasted money, see?
Like we're not. Like we, wasted money. And I could go on and on and on and on and on with all the churches that are empty during the week that could be doing Christian education, could be pulling their kids out of the public schools and say, come here, let's do Christian education right here. But I don't know. They don't have the vision to see it. Sorry, man.
Hey, Coach.
Victor.
The biggest problem, like the mega church, one of the mega churches here in El Paso, those guys they do a lot of works, but you know that it's not all about works. You need to have some faith. You know, you need to have the Word of God, and yes, they give it, but the problem is, you know, they were telling me that there's a Mexican some kind of a church down here, down in the valley. They give out food. The people, they go down there. They're baited in there. But it's not about the word. It's about the food. And then at a point, they're fighting over the food. And you know, this is the thing, is that they're not educated in the Word of God, and that's the problem. They're baiting them with food, and you know, they're just feeding them. They're feeding the body, but they're not feeding the soul.
No, they're not at all. Not at all, Victor. I appreciate it. I know of a church. I'm not going to say anything more than I know of a church. They built a new addition, and I know this. It takes them $30,000 per week to run the business. $30,000 per week to run the business. And that's to pay for everything they built, right?
It's the same mentality of the government, Coach. It is a monster machine that needs to be kept fed and people. They need that money. It's no longer about ministry. It's about the beast of the machine.
Yep. Thinking we got to expand and build. And I'm sorry, beating up on it. If you spend time out on the street, you understand how easy these battles would be to win. These things would be so easy to win if we just focused on it. And if we talk, we say we care about souls, but we don't go out on the street to try to win souls. We invite them to come to us. Jesus said, "Go ye, not come ye." And you know, you look at you. Hey, folks, they're killing babies, full-term babies, in not only New York, in several states across America, killing full-term babies. And is there a response from the church? Is there any money at all in your church going to end abortion? Do we not care about it? Aren't there a bunch of little tithers that they're killing in there? I heard somebody say the only good thing about abortion is probably killing off Democrats. I didn't say that. Somebody else said that. So that's why they got to bring in all the
Hey, Coach.
Yep. See if you can connect with him, Jared. Go ahead, Danny.
Can we stop calling it abortion and start calling it for what it is, the real?
And that's something else, brother.
Child.
Hey, Vinny, I saw a video yesterday of a young girl who was talking about abortion. See, it's just a term we throw out there, like spaghetti or football game or Ohio State football. Until you go to an Ohio State football game, you can't understand the experience. It's really, really invigorating and really, really exciting and really, really good. Can't understand it till you go it. And so we use the term abortion, and abortion doesn't mean it. What does that mean?
It means absolutely nothing.
It doesn't mean anything until we see it, see? We see
right,
it.
Right.
Do they show abortion in your church? When you go to church, do they show what abortion really is so that the people really understand? And the girls, and I saw a video of a girl says, "You mean that's what they do? That's what they do?" How many years has it been going on? And people think, they think it's flushing a toilet or something, right?
Right.
Steven.
Hey, Steve, welcome.
Hello. Welcome.
Thanks for getting up and joining us here this morning, Steve.
You're welcome.
I was right in the middle of a rant, buddy. I was ranting against the fact that the church is wasting so much money and nobody cares about killing babies and all that kind of stuff, Steve. And so
I heard you, and you're right on. You are so right on, Coach Dave.
He's referring to that false thing out there as the church.
Oh, Larry, I know that. See, this is interactive in here, Steve, so guys get to pipe in every once in a while. And,
gotcha.
I appreciate you joining us here, Steve. I want to have you back later and do a really – give you a chance to get prepared. You caught my eye about a couple years ago. You caught my eyes watching some of your stuff. And then when you out of nowhere emailed me the other day, really, it really blessed me. And I, you know, Steve, you as much as anybody understand this, it's churchianity that's gone on. And I really, was captured by your website when you're tired of the lies, think about it. Because that's our theme here, Steve, of how much we've been lied to, how many things we believe that are not true, and how many things we don't know that they're hiding from us. And you did that video, video series on things that they're what they are hiding from us and why they are doing it. And Steve is a jumping off point. Just kind of jump in there right now, Steve. Number one, what the heck got you gone doing this? Because I know from watching your videos, buddy, you put some time into those things. What got you doing it, Steve? And how many followers do you think you have, Steve?
I'm getting close to 500,000 on YouTube now.
Unbelievable.
But you know, I don't know. I guess what got me going was God. I mean, that's all I can say is, I think that when people, you know, stop taking the blue pill and they come out of it, I think it's piece by piece. You know, I mean, somebody tells you something and you kind of mock them and, you know, you say, oh, that's crazy. That's, you know, nah, you know, they wouldn't do that. I think it's piece by piece. And, you know, it's kind of like a shoe that comes untied. You know, it first, you know, one eye comes out and then the string comes out of the next one. And then you realize, wait a minute, there's something to this. And this is not baloney. There's really something to this. And the more you become awakened, it just continues to roll. It's like a snowball. And then all of a sudden you're realizing that, you know, this thing is a lie, that we're in a, we kind of are in a matrix.
What was your red pill moment, Steve?
Well, I wish I knew exactly when it was. I think one of them was, back when I was losing my house that we lit, well, we were getting leaned. We lived in a house in Jupiter, Florida, and we moved into a house that was 10 years old. We lived there for 10 years. And then I get a notice in the mail that said, guess what? According to our records, this was from the local, you know, water department. According to our records, we noticed you never tied into the sewer. So, okay, so we were like one of the only houses in this whole development that were not tied into the sewer. But we'd already lived there for 10 years. And so basically there was a big thing where they started leaning me $50 a day because I wouldn't get into the sewer. And then the EPA came after me with $500 a day fine. Well, this made me realize, you know what? This really is a world system. This is a global system. Because why is, you know, and then I realized that this is a global thing. This is this new world order that they come after you. So make a long story short, I fought and fought and fought. I paid what little bit of money I had at the time to a lawyer who did absolutely nothing. And I realized this, you aren't going to win this battle. There's no way you can win this battle. This is a world system. So in other words, I spent a day at the court researching, and I found out that according to the law, that it was the responsibility of the builder who built the house to tie into the system if there was a sewer system available. Well, there was, and they never tied into it. And now they're coming back on me and trying to make me responsible. So I would say that was the big moment. And that was, you know, several years ago.
Yeah, it's like I was just saying, Steve, you can talk about the Ohio State Buckeyes, but until you're in the stadium, you don't get that experience, right? And so we can talk about the New World Order, and we can talk about tyranny and talk about all this stuff. But until it happens to you, that's old Andre Crouch song, I didn't think it could be till it happened to me. Boy, that changes everything, doesn't it? When it happens to you. So Steve, one of your major themes is think about it. Boy, we don't do that, do we, Steve? We're not even trained. No. We're not even trained to do that in our churches. Walk into your church, pastor stands up there, what he tells you is the truth. Go ahead and go home and eat supper, watch the Browns on TV. And we'll see you next week. And we're not even encouraged to open our Bible and dig into it.
Yeah, and that's really, you know, that's what's, you know, we've come into this. We are in apostasy, and if you can't tell, then you're really not awake. But most people live in their little bubble, and they're in a routine, and you know that. Like I said, I've said it in you know, videos that you know, people are in their little busy, hurried up life. And, you know, basically they, Christians especially, they don't want to research. They don't want to do anything. If, you know, it's on Christian TV, I can listen to this pastor and this guy and that guy. And, you know, if you think that's what being a Christian is, then you're asleep. You're totally asleep. You're dead.
So, and that's where most of them are, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. Unfortunately it is. And, you know, until you have a holy discontent and you say, wait a minute, I'm really tired of this. This is, we just go through the same old thing. And, you know, the definition of that is, idiocy. It's, you know, you do the same thing and expect a different result.
That's us, brother. That's it. By the way, Steve, I think I emailed you. You did that video that you did on Lavoy Finicum, Deep State, was really, really good. I think you just popped that one up yesterday. You put some time into those things, man. It's amazing. But Steve, one of the things that caught my eye we're not, I don't know if you can see me on the screen. I have a tinfoil hat I wear sometimes, Steve. I'm not afraid to wear it, brother. And the more I wear it, it's not tinfoil. Michael Savage says he's not a conspiracy theorist, or maybe it's Lionel. He's a conspiracy analyst, right?
Yeah, right.
And that's what Think About It's about, right? That's what it's about. Yeah. Okay, I've heard this, and I'm not just going to tune it out because my pastor hasn't spoken about that. Wait a minute. What does it mean when I read in Genesis 6? Huh? There were giants. What? There were giants. Where? Well, Jared, where is that? Genesis 6. Pull that up there real quick. Because, you know, Steve, this is where they really got calling me names, saying I was a tinfoil hat guy. And it came to pass that the sons of God saw the daughters of men. They were fair, and they took them wives. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always dwell. Blah, blah, blah. Verse 4, there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. And, Steve, we read that, and it's like, oh, well, that's a typo. Whoever edited, that shouldn't be in there.
Yeah, you know, what gets me, Dave, is so many people, we have so many authorities, I call them uneducated authorities, because they don't, it's like when you tell somebody, well, you know, this is what the Bible says, and you'll have them say, you know, people in the world, they'll say, well, doesn't the Bible say God helps those who help themselves? In other words, are they asking or are they telling? You know, they want to be an authority, but they don't know what they're talking about. And this is the way Christians are, too. They're just the same way, and they don't even realize they are.
So, Steve, you did a great video. And by the way, folks, we're talking with Steve at Think About It. And his website, we put his website up there. Go to his YouTube. He makes the most fascinating videos, captivating, actually. And Steve, one of them that you talked about was things that are not in the Bible. I think that was the title of it. Go back there, Jared, if you can. Or why these things are not in the Bible. Why are they not? There it is. Why the book of Enoch is not in the Bible. Because we hear people all the time, Steve, we do it here at Coach Dave Live. We say, well, that's not in the Bible, and that's not officially canon. And you can't trust that. But Steve, it's quoted a couple different times in the scriptures, right? So from your opinion, why is the book of Enoch not part of the Bible? It used to be.
Well, the book of Enoch and who knows how many other things. There are so many other things that they removed from the scriptures. And just a little fact that I'll reiterate here to the people that are listening. The book of Enoch was in the Bible. The book of Enoch was in there for 500 years, and then it was removed. Now, nobody even, they gloss over the fact that the apostles talk about it. And they mention Enoch. They mention, you know, what Enoch said, because they held it high. They understood that it was scriptural. It was inspired of God. People say, well, that wasn't inspired of God. Well, tell me if you were there and you know that it was inspired of God. I wasn't there, but I can tell you it is inspired of God. If you read the book of Enoch, but that's the problem. There we go again. You have to study it. You have to take time to do that. You got to turn your football or basketball game off, and you got to study a little bit. That means it takes a little bit of effort. And, you know, the lazy, apathetic, you know, complacent Christian church today, they don't want to do that. They're too busy. They don't really want to know it. They just want the pastor to tell them, oh, that's not there, or that's there. You can't believe that. Or I'll tell you one thing. Aren't you glad you don't just listen to your pastor, that you have a Bible you can read to find out for yourself? But the book of Enoch was in the scriptures. Fact. It was in the scriptures for 500 years. Now, who took it out? Well, take a guess. Do you have anybody in this world that may be influenced by Satan? Yeah, you have a lot of people influenced by Satan. We have, you know, world leaders that are influenced by Satan. We have
evil men have crept in unawares, right, Steve? It tells us in the book of Jude, right?
That's right. That's right. Yeah, the Apostle Paul warned about that. He knew it was going to happen. He knew it. So
would it be safe to Steve, to assume, all of us to assume, that maybe the writers of the New Testament, the writers of the New Testament, could it be that they were familiar with the book of Enoch?
They were very familiar. Yeah. So, that's not an assumption, Dave. That's a fact. They were very familiar with it.
See, we're reading it 2,000 years later. At the time that they through their stories and through the Old Testament and through the traditions of men that have been handed down, they weren't shocked when they're talking about giants. They weren't shocked because that was part of, call it lore, whatever. They weren't aware of that.
They knew it. They knew it. I mean, this is all part of their Jewish teaching. Peter talks about, you know, they left their first estate. That's, you know, they're being held in judgment right now. Everything the Book of Enoch says, you can find it in your Bible. But, you know, if you're not looking for it, or if you're, right. you know, I don't know how you gloss over everything and kind of ignore everything. We're talking about the Word of God, even the Word of God that we have, or that we call the Holy Scriptures. And you know, what gets me is these people, they are so locked in. They lift up the King James Version like it's the only version that's right. worthy of your time. Well, guess what? Why do you think we have different translations? It's so you can compare and kind of look at it from a different way. I mean, you know, when you're driving your car, you don't just look forward. You look to the side. You look in your rearview mirror. You look it all around. You want to see what's really there, not just what's in front of your face.
So, I want to think about it, don't I, Steve? I want to think about it.
Right.
Hey, folks, that's listen, right. I want to play just about 2 minutes of a video that Steve made here, just so you get a flavor of the type of thing he does. So, Jared, the one we have on there in the Book of Enoch, let's just play just a couple minutes so people can get a real flavor, feel and flavor for what it is that Steve produces.
We are nearing the end of the Earth's history, and we're closing in on the last of the last days before Jesus comes back to take his rightful place on this Earth and remove the devil and all his influence on this world. The biggest weapon that Satan has, and I believe that he's ever used on mankind, is ignorance. Ignorance of the truth. He's done that in league with men and women who have agreed to help him bring about his fruitless plan to overthrow God Almighty. He is not, nor will he ever be, an equal with God Almighty. That's impossible. As impossible as it is for God to lie. The people on this earth who've already decided that Jesus Christ will never be the Lord of their lives have agreed to suppress the truth through lies and counterfeit information. The Bible says that Satan is the god of this world, temporarily. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul says, "If there's anything hidden about our message, it's hidden only to someone who is lost. The God who rules this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers. They cannot see the light, which is the good news about our glorious Christ, who shows what God is like." Once you're exposed to the truth and the facts, you're no longer ignorant. Then, if you refuse to receive the truth, you're just stupid, or stubborn, rebellious, and disobedient. I was ignorant for years and years because of wrong teaching I listened to and the lack of studying things on my own. People that go to church week after week and rarely open their Bible, they can't expect to know much at all. And if you allow yourself to be distracted with everything in this world, you'll stay ignorant and lost until the day you take your last breath, and you'll be separated from the God who created you, suffering for eternity for the things you did in this life, and refusing to receive the gift of salvation. If you're watching this video now,
we'll cut you off there, Steve. You do a great job. Listen, I want to open up. Anybody here in the queue got a question or a comment or anything for Steve? Give you a chance to get in here.
Hey, Steve, this is Brother Jeff in Fallon, Nevada.
How you doing?
Yeah, I watched your video on flat earth, and I'm kind of like a doubting Thomas in that subject. I've been around the I actually been in the Navy, and I cover the whole, well, it's supposed to be the whole globe, zigzag between the lands from the west, east coast, and drove from Florida to California to cover it. I did the whole surface of the earth, and I've been on the equator when a full moon happened, and it's spectacular. But I see it is not flat. I see a curvature.
What do you okay? You're talking about, you see what? The ground level, you see this?
Yeah.
How do you do that?
In the ocean, where there's no obstacle, no mountains, nothing.
I've never heard of anybody being able to do that before. I don't know how you can come to that conclusion.
You're limited with your view, with your angle, Jeff, is what I think he's saying. As you stand there, it looks flat, and you can't see a curvature. Even if there is a curvature there, you can't see it from where you stand. The only way you can do is get high up. By the way, folks, remember this. Think about it. Steve doesn't care what you believe. He doesn't care what you believe. Think about it. That's his theme. Think about it. Didn't mean to walk on you there, Jeff. But
hey, Coach.
Yes,
Dave. You know, I too have been on the oceans, and you can see the curvature of the ocean. You don't see the curvature; you see the result of the curvature when you see a sailing ship go over the horizon, and you can clearly see the sails and the masts. But you can't see that which has already proceeded over the horizon. You can only see that which sticks up above the horizon. So the curvature is there. You just don't get the perception of the curve. You get the result of the curve in your sight.
Steve, there are more and more flat earthers out there, aren't there? More and more people who are believing.
Well, you're right, Dave. Listen, let me give you a comment on that last your last caller there. First of all, what you perceive as a curve is not a curve at all. Number one, you can do the same thing with a train track. A train track that's long enough, because I've seen the same effect done looking down a train track that you know is not curved. Okay, now, here's some facts here that you need to think about. They're trying to tell you that we're spinning at 1,038 miles an hour, all right? And supposedly gravity holds it down, right?
Right.
We can see the moon, we can see the sun, they're round, that's clear. So we're told to believe that the earth is also round. Why? Why does it have to be round? Just because we see the moon and the sun are round. Why does the earth have to be flat when the Bible says different? I know this is cognitive dissonance. I don't know if anybody listening understands what cognitive dissonance is. It simply means you're trying to hold on to two completely different views, and amen. It's hard. It's hard.
Right.
Simultaneously.
Let's not get bogged down on the flat earth, okay?
Exactly, of course.
Because here's what will happen. If we focus on that, then everybody's going to walk away and say, oh, that guy's nuts. he takes on all these hard topics. Let's not get buried on that one, all right?
I say that the earth is described as a plane, so we should take away from that and then go on, right?
Amen. Amen. Hey, here, I know this. I'm on this thing, whatever it is, and I'm here to try to advance the kingdom of God. And foolish and unlearned questions do avoid, for they do engender strife. And I'm not saying it's a foolish and unlearned question, but Steve, you're right with the cognitive dissonance. It's almost like it's a place I don't even go. Somebody else, come on in.
So the Book of Enoch, right? So how about, so in your video, obviously you described some things to look for. So how about a big marker for us right now?
Ooh.
Thank you.
A big marker. Now, are you talking about a big marker to prove to us that we're in the last of the last days? Is that what you're saying?
Just talk about your view on the Nephilim. What do you think that whole thing's about, Steve?
Right, right.
Well, The Nephilim, I mean, there's no doubt. They found, you know, here you go. You got to do some research. But why is it that governments all want to hide the fact of the skeletons that they found that are, you know, 20 feet, almost 30 feet in length that they have dug up in you know, Peru and different places, Afghanistan? I don't know if you guys heard the report of some soldiers that went into a cave.
It was Steve.
Right.
Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And they were killed. They were killed by a giant. They've got photos and they've got all kinds of pictures. And I did a thing on this a long time ago. But every time they find one of these giant skeletons, they're right away the government moves in to cover it up, to hide it, to not even allow it out. And they, you know, it's like a military operation. They come in and it's like, you know, you would have thought you found some, you know, alien or something. They cover it up quick. Why is that? What are they afraid of? They're afraid of the truth. They're afraid that, you know, everything, it's just like, I don't want to go back into the flat earth as a topic, but I'm just saying it's just like the flat earth, because if you really believe and understand that this is not a globe that we're on, it will change the whole paradigm of creation, because the Word of God says so.
Amen.
And if you don't want to believe the Word of God, well, then fine, believe the lie. You have a choice, just like you have a choice to receive Christ or to reject him. God will never take away the free will of any man. And that's the one thing that people don't understand. They say, well, if God is here, how could he let the baby suffer like that? How could he let the Well, listen, he came, died, gave his witness, and it's up to us to carry that witness to this world and be the light and the salt that he called us to be.
Amen.
If you don't want to do that, you're stuck with the results of a devil-controlled world, because he is the prince of the power of the air. This is a spiritual world we live in. It's not just a natural world. And everybody thinks it's just a natural world.
Some of this cognitive dissonance that people have is, even still today, the majority of people think government is on their side.
Now, Steve,
how could any thinking person actually believe that, Steve? But yet, deep inside of us, we don't want it. We just want to, government's here. They're going to help us. Right there is a perfect example of not being able to move past what our eyes, we don't think about it, do we, Steve?
No. I mean, I'd love to believe. I mean, you know, I grew up, I'm 66. I grew up in a time where, you know, I remember Christmas at my grandma's house next door. And I remember, you know, it was just, you know, just a basic, simple life. I grew up in Northern Ohio. And I remember Christmas and getting the blue spruce tree for Christmas and cutting it down from the yard. And I mean, I love to live in that Norman Rockwell, you know, type of Christmas, but that's not the real world. And I didn't know it for years and years and years. And all of a sudden, you know, you start wondering about these things. And, you know, and then I'll tell you what, this last election where President Donald Trump got in, what it did more than anything to me was it started awakening people to the evil of this government.
Amen.
It did. That's the main thing it did, is it started to wake me up and go, wow. I mean, you started to see the snakes come out of the pit. You didn't even know there was a pit before.
Right.
Hey, Coach.
Steve. Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Hey, Coach, I got a quick question for Steve. So, Stuart, I like what you're saying about the book Enoch, because I read that and that rocked my world. That changed my perspective on things in the Bible. But you said it was in the Bible for 500 years. Am I right to assume that was in maybe the early church up until the Catholics got a hold of things and probably took it out?
Most likely. Yeah, I you know, to be honest, I wasn't there, so I can't tell you exactly when. But it was there. And, you know, if it wasn't there, how come all the apostles knew it? How come they knew what it said? How come they understood all these? What do you think Peter got all this stuff? They left their first estate. How did he know?
Remember now,
Peter walked with Jesus. Peter was with him for 3 years. If it was not true, you don't think it would have said, hey, well, is this true? Is this baloney, or is this true? You don't think they would have talked about it? 3 years?
Yeah, amen. I agree.
Hey, Steve, I was going to ask you a question.
This is Victor from Texas.
Do you believe? Hello, Stephen. Do you believe that the reason that they split up science from religion, or the belief in God, it was the optimal thing that they could do, so they could keep people compartmentalized, so that you can't blend both science and God? And the truth of the matter is, with Tim Alberino and Steve Quayle, when they went down there to Peru and they discovered all of these giants, they had giants that were locked up over here in northern New Mexico and by Farmington, and they had a breakout. They had them with titanium bars, and the giants broke through the bars, and they killed a whole bunch of soldiers down there, and they ended up having to transport them down to Antarctica. And you see, this is the thing, is all these secrets, they play into the cognitive dissonance that's there, because that is how they control the masses. But the separation of science from God, because science is God and God is science, and they try and bring that to us in that way. And I believe that the Roman Church was the one that instigated all of this stuff, because if the truth got out.
Vic, let me jump in here real quick. Folks, just use this as an example, all right? Think that here we are in 2019, and this is current history right in front of us in 2019. You go to the average American, they don't have to be Christian. You go to the average American, and they could not really explain to you what an abortion is. They hear the word. It's going on around us. Thousands going on around us today. And the average Christian person, if you went and asked to them, said, what happens during an abortion? They couldn't tell you, right? So if we can be, if science can be that, if they can block science right now, today, 2019, not get the truth out about abortion in 2019, how much have they been able to censor it 2,000 years ago? If the guys who, remember, they tell us this, history is written by the winners. The people who are involved, right? Look at us here today in 2019. They're tearing down statues of Robert E. Lee. They are destroying history right in front of us. Why do we think that this couldn't have happened 2,000 years ago, 500 years ago? How do, what? Come on. When they put the King James Bible together, with an internet, there weren't PDFs. They sat in a room with candles and they wrote it. Were there any censors in there? Was there a group in there say, yeah, maybe we shouldn't have this in here? So Steve, I'm sorry to go on that rant, Steve. So if rather than about whether there were giants, what's the significance today? L.A. Marzulli, a personal friend of mine, done ministry with L.A. Marzulli. And the stuff that he has is absolutely unbelievable. But Steve, what do you see? What should a Christian take from the fact that there were giants in those days and also afterwards, and the significance of what's going on with where we are today?
Well, first I want to say, Victor, you hit the nail on the head, and so did you, Dave. These things are in the Bible. They're very real. Everything we've just been talking about is very real.
No, not teaching in seminary. So if your pastor went to seminary, he wasn't taught this. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, you weren't taught a lot of things. I guess the main thing that, you know, we need to understand is this is a spiritual battle. This is a full-on spiritual battle. There are angels warring right now in the heavenlies. There are angels warring as we speak. And we're, you know, sipping our coffee. They're up there fighting.
Mm.
And there's so much going on. I always say things happen in the heavenlies, in the spiritual realm, before they happen here.
Amen.
So now here's the thing. As Christians, now as born again, spirit-filled believers, people who really love the Lord are born again, sealed by the Spirit of the living God. We have the authority that we can take over these angelic evil powers. You see, there's a breakdown. There's a breakdown. There's a hierarchy. Remember, what does it say in Ephesians? That we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against, and there's in the list.
Right.
The whole list. It's not just, we're not wrestling against Satan. No, we're wrestling against his hierarchy, the breakdown. Well, God has a breakdown and a hierarchy too. That's why Michael is an archangel. He's not another angel. There are other angels. You have angels that protect you. You have angels that protect your family. There are angels assigned to each Christian. And boy, mine's been busy. Mine's saved my rear end about three or four times that I know of.
Yeah.
So, you know, God has a purpose. He has a purpose in everything that he does. We don't always have, we know how to blow time and waste time and do stupid things, but God always has a purpose in everything he does. So I didn't mean to get sidetracked here, but you know that.
No, it's good. It's good, Steve, because so the impact, the question that I'm trying to help people to understand is if there were Nephilim, if we follow the story of the Nephilim, disembodied spirits who were immortal, half angel, couldn't die. And as it was in the days of Noah, what was going on in the days of Noah? Well, Genesis 6, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. If the Nephilim and this mixed, they were around then, can't we say, well, this type of thing is going to be happening again? But
let me just correct one thing. The Nephilim were the giants. That was the name given to the giants.
Right.
Okay. Their disembodied spirits are labeled demons. And this, okay, they were called evil spirits in the book of Enoch. Evil spirits, the same thing. We call them demons. The book of Enoch called them evil spirits because even Enoch talks about the Lord of spirits. You know, Indians, you know, it's funny, Indians always called God the great spirit, didn't they?
Right. Yes, they did.
The great spirit. Well, he was considered the Lord of spirits because he really is. And God is a spirit too. So, you know, we've changed the names of everything, you know, through our time. But, you know, the truth of it is God is a spirit. He's not, you know, he doesn't look like me. He does look like me in the sense that I bear his image. But so the point is this. He said that those spirits, part of the curse was they were going to stay on the earth to continually bother man. Now, God's the one who made the choice. I didn't make the choice. I don't know. But you got to remember, all things work together for good to those who love the Lord and are called according to his purposes. If you're not a born-again believer, you have the potential to be influenced, oppressed, and even possessed by demons. But if you're a Christian, you don't. You simply don't. Even a carnal Christian really can't be possessed by a demon or an evil spirit.
Can be influenced.
Yeah, you can be influenced big time. But, you know, you've got to be willing. See, that's the thing. God will never take away our will. He will never allow Satan to take away our will to choose. Because if he did, that would change everything. The whole paradigm would shift into something that he never intended.
Amen.
So we are human beings. We are flesh and blood.
Let's get the order right.
Yes, sir.
What we really are is we're spirit, soul, and body.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And it's being played out in a natural realm, right? And so what happens in the heavenly impacts what goes on in the natural, because the forces of darkness and the forces of light impact the minds of men.
Yeah.
And if we don't understand that influence, both good and bad, if we don't understand what's going on around us, we will never we can't look at Barack Obama and just say, well, he's just dumb. No,
right.
He's demonically influenced. Hillary's not just dumb. She's demonically influenced. She's demonically protected. How else can we possibly explain how they are looking past everything she did if there weren't evil forces at work?
Amen. Well, you know what? This is a good sign that we're in the last of the last days. Because remember now, it says if somebody doesn't understand the things of God, that, you know, it talks about the devil has blinded their minds. The spirit of Antichrist has been here, you know, for thousands of years before the Antichrist shows up. The spirit of Antichrist is already here. Okay.
Amen. Thessalonians. So,
you know, has blinded, you know, the devil has blinded their minds. Blinded their minds. I mean, take a black hood and put it over your face and then try to walk down the city streets. What's going to happen? You're going to be bumping into all kinds of things.
Yeah, that's right.
So that's a sign that our the people's minds are blinded. And it's only by the word. Remember now, you know, was it Paul that said, how can they believe unless they have a preacher?
Right.
How can they believe? Okay. Right. I mean, we got street preachers going out there and preaching the gospel, and people, you know, mock them. It's like even so-called Christians will come up and say, well, this isn't the right venue. You know, you shouldn't be doing that now because, you know, you're creating a problem out here, and that's not God's love. And, you know, people don't know what God's love is. They read God is love. God is love. So God's tolerant like the world teaches tolerance? No, I'm afraid not. He's not tolerant like the world teaches tolerant, because if he was, he would be going against his own word.
So, Steve, we go to our churches, and our churches have become carnal. In other words, when you walk into the church, the things that are spoken about in the church are things that affect you in this natural world. Rather than going into church and learning how the devil's team operates, getting a good scouting report on the devil's team and his overall impact, the devil isn't just after your finances and after your health and after your kids. He is, but that's not it. It's part of a larger scheme of the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. And we're not to be ignorant of his devices, but in our churches, we don't even talk about his devices. So when you come to a show like this, or you come to Stephen, think about it. This is so foreign to the average Christian that they cannot wrap their mind around it.
Yeah, it's sad. It's really sad, because we're called to be light and salt in this world. Light. And if you're no light, then you're just like the world. They're all bumping each other in the darkness. And if you're not light, what are you doing? And salt, we're not seasoned. We're afraid to say anything because we don't want to offend anybody, and we're afraid of what people will think. Well, we can be so nice and tolerant and watch them go right to hell.
You're loving them all the way. We got about 4 minutes here. Somebody come on in here. Help us wrap this up.
Steve, I wanted the one thing that came to me right now is that our language is being changed right now as it is. And then as it's being changed, the one thing that we have to do is we have to protect the word of God that's in our heart. Because they can't change our heart, but they're trying to affect our soul. And they're trying to populate our soul with evil. So this is what we all have to do, is protect the word of God so that nobody can ever change it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well said.
Let the host jump in here real quickly. They, Vic keeps saying they are trying to. Well, who is they? Well, those people that we wrestle not against flesh and blood with, but those principalities and powers, those evil spirits in high places, they are trying to do that. And how are they doing it? Through people. Yeah. This is a cosmic battle, good against evil, Jesus against the devil. It's playing out in front of us. It isn't about you and your finances and your sore toe and your earache. It's bigger than that.
Right, today is the most important act of Satan, Baal, Baphomet, whatever you want to call him. It's a multi-pronged attack.
It's
a multitude of attacks designed to weaken you and destroy
you. We got 3 minutes, Steve. What didn't I give you a chance to say, or what can you clarify? Well, that I messed up.
Let me. No, you said you were great, Dave. All I can tell you is the main point is God works through men, and so does Satan.
Amen.
Now, think about that, because nothing's getting done. Nothing, whether it's evil or it's good and righteous, nothing has been done except through men. And it's been done through their free will choosing. Think about that a minute.
Right. Think about it, right? Think about it. Somebody else. We got about a minute and a half. Somebody wanted to jump in here real quick.
Coach, can you hear me?
Yes.
I just
want Serge from Buffalo.
Yes, Steve, this is Serge from Buffalo. I just want to say thanks. I've been listening to you for over a year, and it's just amazing what you bring up. You remind me a lot of Coach, because Coach clarifies a lot of things for me and brings a lot of things to light, and your show does the same thing, and I just want to say thank you.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Hello. Can anybody hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Hey, how's it going? How's it going, fellas? Good morning. Good morning, y'all.
Good morning.
Hey, I'm sorry to just jump in the conversation, but I just wanted to share some more light and knowledge. And I know you got a few minutes left, but I think what I have to say will be worth it if you have the time to listen.
Please.
Go ahead, brother. Go ahead.
Okay. About that Planned Parenthood stuff that we're talking about, I sent you an email yesterday, just to give you a heads up I think coach@coachday.com or something.
Yes, sir.
Dave.
Yes, sir.
These days have been planned for us since 1969. That's in your email. Okay. I came across a lady spoke to on your name. Her name was Activist Mommy.
Yeah.
Elizabeth Johnson. Yes.
Right.
Okay. So I've been following her, and she referred us to you during one of her interviews, and I just sent you the email. Basically, everything that you're looking at these days, the LGBT movement, abortions have been planned since 1959, even before abortion was legalized.
Amen.
Is anybody out there aware of that?
Of course.
Yes, but do me a favor. We're running out of time. Resend me that email, okay? I'm looking forward even right now. Can't find it, but yes, Elizabeth Johnson's a great, great buddy of mine. We used to go to church together, Activist Mommy. Steve, God bless you. Yeah. We're going to do this again, Steve, and we're going to get you set up with Google Meet so people can actually see you and interact with you. Brother, plow your row. Keep fighting that fight, man. We are in the battle. The battle for the age is playing out right before us. And Steve, think about it, man. You're here for a purpose at just this time. Thanks for joining us,
Amen.
Brother.
Thanks, Dave. Appreciate it.
Stay with us, Steve, after the show's over. We have a little dialogue back and forth here. God bless you, folks. We'll see you tomorrow. Think about it.